We turn to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua 1, we read the whole chapter. We will not reread the text, which is verses 1 through 9, the first 9 verses of the chapter. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Thus far we read the inspired word of God. As noted, the text is the first 9 verses of Joshua 1. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a day of transition. 3 office bearers retire and go out of office, and now 3 new office bearers will come into office. The transition is not merely a formal change, as, for example, can be seen in new families sitting in reserved pews, new names printed on the back of the bulletin, new faces in the consistory room. But there will very really be a change in lives. Three office bearers retire, and God willing, they and their wives will be able to enjoy a kind of reprieve and rest, a needed rest from the labors. And three new office bearers will come into office, and the work will prove to be a joy and spiritually rewarding, but it is work, and it's busy. And there are meetings and visits and issues and questions and many prayers and much searching of the scriptures. There will be a change in the day of transition. There may be all kinds of reasons on account of which one is fearful. How will this go? How will this go? The text that we consider this morning in Joshua 1 records one of the most significant transitions that ever occurred in God's covenant. Moses died. Moses died. He was the greatest leader of Israel's history, and he led them right up to the door of Canaan, but he could not lead them through the door. And there stood all these covenant people, and right before them was that grand and beautiful land the Lord had promised to them, to Abraham, but it was teeming with fierce enemies of the covenant, much opposition, and Moses, now the great leader, was dead, and who will lead them into the promised land? They need a leader. And in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter, God very clearly appoints. He speaks his word and appoints, as he has already done in the past, Joshua. Joshua will be the new leader. If Joshua's heart is not filled with fear and concern and apprehension, then certainly he was tempted to such. And we would expect such. And maybe that is in part the disposition of some of the new office bearers, a kind of fear and apprehension. Well, God not only speaks and identifies the new leaders, he speaks the necessary, effectual word, be strong and of good courage. And that's not only a command, but it is a command which gives that which it commands, as the Lord's effectual word always does. And in this, the day of transition, out with the old and Moses, and in with the new and Joshua, and perhaps many fears, the word of God is, be strong and of good courage. And in the day of transition, there's one thing that never changes. That's the faithfulness of God to his people. And to the office bearers he appoints, he will give the courage he demands. Exhorted to be of good courage, that's the theme of the sermon. Notice first an understandable fear. In the second place, a grounded courage. And third, an immediate fruit. It's not difficult at all to understand that Joshua may have had fear in his heart. And who could blame him that he was afraid or that he was tempted to fear is made plain by verse 9, where the Lord says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. That he was certainly afraid or that he was certainly tempted to fear is made plain by the charge that the Lord gives him and repeats 6 different times. We go back to Deuteronomy 31, a few chapters previous, where Joshua had been appointed. And Moses says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. 1. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. 2. Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. 3. Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. 4. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. 5. Joshua 1, verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. 6 different times. Is there any other incident in all of Scripture in which one man receives the same charge 6 different times, whether that be a prophet of the Old Testament, one of the disciples of Jesus, or perhaps Paul to young Timothy, that the Lord gives this charge 6 different times? Be strong and of a good courage indicates that the great, great threat in the day of transition is fear. Fear. Notice that the Lord does not exhort Joshua in the great day of transition, be humble. Be lowly. Do not be proud that I have called you to replace that ecclesiastical giant who is Moses. Though there will be temptations in Joshua and in every office bearer, and there must always be a fight against the sin of pride, the great threat on this, the day of transition, is fear over what lies ahead. Understandable. It's understandable that there may have been fear. In the first place, Joshua was called to follow Moses. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, and so on. Verse 2. Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise. Joshua must follow Moses? How will he ever approximate Moses? Listen to the 3 verses that come immediately before the text. The last 3 verses of Deuteronomy. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses! The greatest leader of Israel's history. And now here's Joshua. And he has to follow Moses. And he's acutely aware of all of his inadequacies. I must follow Moses. And that may generate some fear in an office bearer today. A new professor is elected to the office of professor in the seminary, and he walks in the door of seminary and out goes an old, experienced, battle-tested professor, and I have to follow him. And a minister takes a call to a new congregation, and he joins the church, and having left previously was that man, and he might think, I have to follow him. Or a young, inexperienced man becomes a candidate. He comes out of seminary and he takes a call to a congregation and has to follow this experienced, proven minister. And he might think about that and have fear in his heart. An elder or deacon comes into the office, and maybe out of office goes an older, more experienced man. And he might think, trembling in his heart, I have to follow him. Aware of his own personal inadequacies, an understandable fear, Joshua had to follow Moses. Second, this was an understandable fear because the people had proven themselves very difficult to lead. In And Joshua knew that from his own experience. He wasn't new to Israel. He had been there throughout all the history of Israel in the wilderness. He saw how they grumbled and how they complained and how they murmured and how they rebelled. And one time the earth even opened up and swallowed some of them in their rebellion. If that's what they did following Moses, then what are they going to do when they look ahead and they see me leading them? Fear. And maybe that's a fear in office bearers coming into office. Paul told the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, "Let no man despise thy youth," indicating it's possible some will not want to listen to Timothy because he's so young. Maybe the office bearer, a new office bearer, has a fear that someone in the congregation doesn't like him personally, or that because he is so young, when he is sent to bring the word, they're not going to listen and will prove difficult to lead. That might be a fear in the heart of an office bearer. Third, this is an understandable fear, for Joshua was called to lead God's many chosen covenant people. Verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people." And this was not a congregation of 200 or 500 souls. They may have numbered near 2 million souls. All this people, but more significantly. Verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." The Lord does not make promises to just anyone. He gives promises to His own eternally loved and elected, blood-sprinkled people. And now, according to the text, the Lord has given promises to this people, to this nation. And now Joshua must lead them, God's covenant people. That weight surely bears on the office bearer, especially an elder or deacon who works in temporal things 6 days a week. These are not a farmer's cows or chickens. These are not a dealership's cars or boats. These are not the jeweler's diamonds or gold. These are Almighty God's eternally loved, blood-sprinkled, redeemed people. They are infinitely valuable from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm put in a position of leadership now over them and all of them. The office bearer has fear in his heart, that it's understandable. Fourth, it is understandable that there may have been fear, for Joshua's work was simply daunting. So significant. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land." God had promised unto these people the promised land of Canaan to Abraham and to the seed of Abraham. And now is the responsibility of Joshua to take all of these people and lead them into the promised land of Canaan and divide it up so that each tribe and each family would get their allotted portion in the inheritance. Joshua's not dividing up pie. He's dividing up God's covenant inheritance. And if that's not significant and daunting enough, look who's in the land. They will not simply go in and take the land. Look at, and Joshua knew this from experience. He was one of the 12 spies. He knew what the land looked like. He saw the giants. He saw the walled cities. He saw the fierce warriors. He saw the mighty weaponry. And this is the task appointed to me by the Lord, to lead all of these people into the land and war and divide it up. The office bearers today may have the same fear, for that physical land of Canaan was a type. It was a picture of the covenant salvation earned by Jesus Christ and applied by the Holy Spirit. A salvation that finds its perfection ultimately in heaven itself. All of the members of the congregation have a place in God's covenant. They have a portion in the salvation of Jesus Christ. And the work of salvation is to give to each one of the souls their allotted portion in the covenant inheritance, in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And God is pleased to use office bearers in the bestowing of that allotment. He's pleased to use elders and deacons, their rule, their oversight of the preaching, of the sacraments, the exercising of discipline. He's pleased to use their advice and their counsel, their word as they bring it from case to case or house to house. He's pleased to use their admonition and their warnings. He's pleased to use their bringing of financial help and money, but not merely money and material things, the comfortable words of Scripture and even instruction and education and financial principles. All of these means, the Lord uses them. He uses the office bearers, and in so doing, bestows upon the members of the church their place in the covenant. Salvation. What a daunting, daunting task to be that kind of instrument in God's hand. And then what makes it all the more fearful is that they're all the enemies. They're all the enemies. In the opposition, there's the devil. He's far stronger than the Hittites and the children of Anak and all of the giants. He leads people astray. He ensnares people in traps. He leads minds and hearts away from the inheritance. And he must be dealt with by office bearers, the devil. There's the wicked world itself, as this church of Jesus Christ lives in the midst of a world of all kinds of immorality and sinful pleasure, and it exerts so powerful an influence upon the hearts of the members of the church, and that's an enemy to be dealt with. The world and the pressure and the allurements to draw especially young people away from the heritage and the inheritance to sell it for something carnal. And then there's that old man of sin, first of all in the elders and in the deacons and in the minister. The old man of sin, and that old man of sin in all of the members of the congregation, and the attitudes and the words and the behaviors that may come out of the old man, and it may make the task of dividing up God's covenantal inheritance seemingly impossible. Fear. A daunting task. In this history, Joshua is a type. Not only the land is a type of our covenant salvation, Joshua himself personally is a type. As the leader and captain of the hosts, he's a type of him whom Hebrews 2 verse 10 calls the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the name itself is significant, for the Hebrew name Joshua and the Greek name Jesus are identical, and they both mean Jehovah salvation. Joshua personally is a type of Jesus Christ as he leads the people into their salvation. But how weak he is, and how frail he is, and how the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted here as the great contrast standing over against the type Joshua. Jesus Christ does not follow any great leader. He doesn't simply follow Moses or any man, not even John the Baptist himself. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come out of the earth. He doesn't come from the earth following in succession some great men. He's the man from heaven sent by God. Jesus is the great leader. Jesus is in no way hindered by our past or present behavior. Any stubborn rebellion and grumbling and murmuring and complaining and disobedience, he's not hindered at all. For he shatters all of that disobedience at the cross. And by his almighty Spirit, he is never frustrated, but he works in our hearts and turns them as Joshua never could do. Jesus is the great leader. And Jesus does not simply lead us into a physical piece of land, but he comes as the Son of God in the flesh, and he takes all of our sins, your sins and my sins, which never a man could do, not even Moses. Jesus takes our sins. He pays for every single one of them, all of them, perfectly at the cross. And there in his crucifixion, he breaks the power of the devil and the power of the world and the power of our own sinful flesh and takes his covenant people and leads them all into the salvation that he has provided for them so that he gives us eternal life now already in our hearts. He gives us faith which manifests itself as a courage. He gives us our justification, our sanctification every day as we walk in good works. He preserves us in our salvation. He leads us infallibly to heaven itself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great leader. Moses and Joshua, John the Baptist himself, could never do what Jesus the great leader does. Joshua fails. He's weak. Elders fail. Deacons fail. Ministers, missionaries, professors of theology fail. We are weak. But in our weakness, exalted is the great leader himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak. We are afraid. And in this great day of transition from Moses to Joshua, God comes with an exhortation. Be strong and of good courage. He comes with a grounded courage. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, God says to Joshua there on the great day of transition. This courage is no natural courage that can be found in a man's heart that he possesses in himself. The Lord's not calling Joshua to stir up some courage that he naturally possesses in his heart, that he was born with some trait called courage. Not at all. He's not saying, come on, Joshua, you're a brave man. Now be the brave man that you are. This courage is the good courage which refers to the confidence of saving faith given to those who belong to Jesus Christ. Saving faith includes courage, boldness, fearlessness in the Lord Jesus Christ because of who God is and because of what God has done and because of what God does and because of what God promises he will do because of God. A man has courage and it's a manifestation of true faith so that only believers can have this courage. An unbelieving hypocrite may come into office. He will never have this courage. It is the courage of saving faith. Be strong and of good courage. And where does it come from? It's the exercise of one's true faith, but where does it come from? The Lord himself gives it with his word. The very word that comes to a man and says, be strong and of good courage, is the effectual word of God to work in that man's heart this courage. And right now, in the preaching of the Holy Gospel, the Holy Spirit takes the exhortation, be strong and of a good courage, and he works that faith in our hearts so that we do have courage as office bearers. And the rest of the days of our life, he will give this courage through his spoken, effectual word, be strong and of good courage. The courage that God requires and the requirement of it is well grounded. This is a grounded courage. God gives us things for our faith to lay a hold of. Be strong and of good courage. First of all, for I am with you. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Verse 9. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There it is. Our faith lays a hold of that. God is with us. What do we want God to do? What does Joshua want? God to raise Moses from the dead and walk side by side with him over the Jordan into Canaan so that he can go to Moses for advice and counsel? Do we want God to take some experienced elder who served so many years in this church and is now dead and buried in a cemetery? We want God to raise him from the dead so that we can go to him with questions and seek advice and counsel? God says, I am with you. And God is infinitely greater in wisdom and grace and strength than any man. We don't need any man in that sense. Joshua doesn't need Moses because he has God. God says, I am with you. And God intentionally, according to his will, brings periods of transitions where great men die and new men must take over to show he is not dependent upon any man. Great as he is, the Lord does not rely upon men. They die and they die and they die. And he always raises up new men and he says, I am with you. And look at what that means. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, you touch it with your foot, it's yours. Go over the Jordan. As soon as you touch it, it's yours. Because I am with you. Verse 5. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will never fail thee. Never. Under any circumstances will I fail you in your office. Before that, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, no matter what enemy presents itself, what opposition, none shall stand before you. Verse 9, the very end, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, and you put all these together. I will never fail thee, never forsake thee. No one shall stand before thee whithersoever thou goest into every consistory, council, or deacon's meeting. To every meeting of classes, to every meeting of synod if one is delegated, into every single house, to every single case, no matter how great the opposition, and it appears Satan himself has a chokehold upon one or some or many. I will never fail you, ever. I am with you. Be strong and of good courage. Be bold. And here's the ground. I, your God, am with you. Secondly, you have more experience than you imagine. I have given you experience, Joshua. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses' servant. All these years, Joshua has been right there with Moses, serving. He has experience, much experience. Two examples, the battle with Amalek. Israel defeated the Amalekites because Moses lifted up his arms. And Aaron and Hur came and helped prop up his arms so that Israel could have the victory. And who was down there leading the host on the battlefield? It was Joshua. He's been leading them before. And way back at Kadesh, some 40 years earlier, when the 12 spies were sent out into the land, one of them was Joshua. And he's one of the spies who gave, along with Caleb, the good report, "We will take this land by God's power." He has more experience than he imagines. God has given him experience. And that's true of the office bearers, any office bearer. From the time these men were little boys in their homes, and all through the years of going to this school or that school, their church life, their work life, experiences they have had in other situations dealing with people, and perhaps trials and afflictions in their life. In all these ways, the Lord has been molding in them and shaping them for their office, so that on the day of transition, when we come into office, God can say, "Be strong and of a good courage, for I've given you more experience than you even know." Third, God called you. And that was the first question put to these men this morning, whether they believe God has called them. Verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. God now says, therefore arise." God called Joshua. He had already had the hands of Moses laid upon him, according to the book of Deuteronomy. God called him. These men were called through a lawful election. They did not thrust themselves into office. They did not try to buy the office or bribe their way into office. They did not simply stand up and say, "I am an office bearer." God called them. God made them office bearers in His church. And whom God calls, He always qualifies and equips. "Be strong and of good courage, for I have called you." Fourth, be strong and of good courage. You have the Word to guide you. The Word of God. Verses 7 and 8. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You have the Word of God to guide you. For Joshua, that was the law of Moses. For us, it is the entirety of the sacred scriptures. We have the Word. And God says, meditate on it day and night. That word meditate is very, very interesting, because it literally means to groan. God is saying, you groan over my word day and night. And anyone who's ever served in office, and really any child of God, knows that experience. To groan over the word. To groan as the Lord brings some perplexing struggle, some great issue in life to the office bearers in the church, and they open up the scriptures late at night and early in the morning, and they page and page, and they're groaning, seeking guidance from the Lord. And they go to the confessions, and they go to the old standard bearers, and to the acts of synod, and they go to books and pamphlets and counsel that the wise men of God, guided by the Spirit, have given previously to direct them back to the scriptures. What do the scriptures teach? And they groan over the word, seeking guidance from the Lord. But it's exactly in that way that the Lord is with them and gives boldness and courage. Be strong and very courageous. You have my word. Now use it day and night. And finally, I am with you. You have more experience than you imagine. I have called you. You have the word. And now finally, you have Jesus. Joshua according to promise, and we according to promise fulfilled. Yes, we have God with us, and in all of these ways, but especially we have God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Himself, as office bearers. We have Jesus. That means we have a cross to which we can flee for refuge and forgiveness for all of our sins and failures in the office. There's forgiveness in Christ. We have the cross of Jesus Christ, which is a testimony to us every single day that the enemies of the covenant have been defeated in principle and destroyed. We have a cross that assures us every day that these members of the congregation have a right to the covenant inheritance, and it's theirs. And they will receive it. And as surely as the Lord Jesus is in heaven right now, the perfection of the covenant, we will be there. And in Him we are already there. Be strong and of good courage. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. The exhortation was effectual and brought immediate fruit. And notice that for just a moment in conclusion. Immediate fruit. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Right there. The very next verse. Immediate fruit. He commanded the people. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage, and immediately Joshua stands up and he takes the leadership and he gives a command to all the people. He doesn't run away and hide, run through the wilderness, say, I can never do what Moses did. He takes the leadership and all of the people hear his words and they say, this we will do. They will never do it by themselves, but by the grace of God. This we will do. And if anyone rebels, we will put him to death. We will execute the death penalty. And the very last words of the text, now they come to Joshua and say, rather, the last words of the chapter, only be strong and of a good courage. Now they are encouraging Joshua with this encouragement of the Lord. Immediate fruit. And then you know the rest of the book, what happens. There's the Jordan River. That's what God says. Verse 2, go over the Jordan. So they come to the Jordan River. How are all these people ever going to cross the Jordan? And here's Joshua leading them. And the Lord opens up the river just as he did with the Red Sea for Moses. And now he's doing signs and wonders through Joshua. And all the people pass through the Jordan and they're into the promised land. And there it is. Unlike anything they had ever seen before, the walls were so high and so thick, and the people so fierce, it was called Jericho. And when they saw it, they didn't turn and run. They took it. With Joshua leading them, they took it. Immediate fruit. Be strong and of good courage. And God gave it. They were courageous, especially Joshua. And that's our confidence. The Lord will give immediate fruit. So that these office bearers do not fear and tremble in their work, but will take up their work in meetings right away. Right away, take up their work in courage. And the congregation, so far from rebelling and murmuring, the congregation will say, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and we will execute the death penalty. If any impenitent rebel is raised up in our midst, we will not join him. We will put him to death. That is, there will be excommunication, and we will enforce it in the church. And be strong and of good courage. And immediate fruit worked in the congregation, so that they then encourage the office bearers, saying to them, be strong and of good courage. And there just might appear a Jericho. In the first month of labor, in the second month of their term, God might give these men a Jericho, a situation that is seemingly impossible for them to deal with. And there will be the threat of fear and worry and concern. But God says, be strong and of good courage, and He will give the courage to take Jericho. Be strong and of a good courage. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we have heard Thy word, and may it be effectual and not return void, but may it accomplish its purpose, and may the purpose of it be that we are strengthened, especially as office bearers, strengthened in our faith, and given boldness and courage to do Thy work. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.